once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and I welcome you to the Word of God for a few moments this morning, and I pray that God will bless you and help you. If you will turn with me to Matthew and chapter 20, you read a small story from verse 30, which says, "Behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried out more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?' And they say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately they followed Jesus." Now here we have a story that is very small, but I want to leave with you just three words. Jesus passed by. As a country, Jesus has been a central, pivotal figure in the life of the people of this country. As a society, we have accepted Christian values and Christian ethics, and we sort of live by some of them when it's convenient, especially. Then we have something to say about this. We tell people that we think, not understanding the cleverness of our cleverness, and we ask them to be quiet. But these two men weren't to be silenced. And I do believe that Christians should not allow either Satan or their peers to silence them. If you have a great love in your heart, you should be able to talk about that love. If you have a great interest in your life, you should be able to talk about that interest. I, for instance, enjoy horses. I like to ride, although for the last several years I've not been able to because of different physical wretchedness that has been mine to bear, but I love to ride horses. I love to ride in the mountains and have ridden in so many mountains that I can't remember them all anymore. But the beautiful thing is that I talk about horses and then I can sit back and let people tell me the stories that they have. How this horse was a great horse, how the things he did and all that sort of thing. And I'm quite sure you know that horses have an enormous personality and not two are alike. They are different. And you will find as you go and get more and more involved with horses that they have their good days and their bad days. There are days when they don't want to go out and be ridden and there are days when they love it and they enjoy every moment. There are days when they really don't want you to keep on asking them to go higher and higher and higher. They want to go lower and lower, and so on it goes. There are stories of horses. I could keep you here for the next hour or two just telling horse stories, wonderful stories. I just enjoy having a horse. And then there's another thing I enjoy. I like cars, and I can get into a conversation about just about any car, but I'm not so conversant with the older American cars. I'm more conversant with European cars and English cars, and I draw the distinction because growing up, we never considered ourselves as European. We were taught that we were English, and the other side of the channel, that's where Europe started. When the GIs came to England to help us with the war in 1942, we found that they looked at England as just another chunk of Europe. And so it's been popular in this country to call England part of Europe. None of that matters. But I want to relate this to these two blind men in this way, that the Lord Jesus had a very great passion for people. These two blind men were sitting by the wayside, and when they heard that Jesus passed by, there are the three words, Jesus passed by. They called out to him. Now the crowd were following him and saying all sorts of flattering and nice things about Jesus, but they were not asking a specific from him. They were demanding his attention. They were trying to use up his time, but they weren't getting anywhere. So let me say this to you. I may be able to talk and tell you stories of all sorts of things that interest me. Now let me talk to you about the Word of God, which interests me more than everything else I've ever learned in all the world. I would like to say to you that if we examine this verse and lift out these three words, Jesus passed by, Jesus would have passed by, but they stopped him by yelling out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And I would like to say we need to know the condition of these men. They were blind. They were beggars. They were sitting at the side of the road, hoping that this crowd that was making all this noise and all the excitement that this crowd was generating, hoping that they would help them. They needed another meal. They needed some clothes. They needed some warmth. They needed some housing. They needed some help. We live in a world that doesn't want to be bothered with people in need. But when the need strikes us and we're out of work and suddenly can't pay the mortgage, or we're suddenly in a position where we cannot afford all the things we used to afford, or the taxes are so awfully high and beginning to take a greater toll on our income, when those things start to happen to us, we're not blind, we're crying out. The Tea Party people are crying out. Thank God they are. But, you know, all of a sudden this has become a political thing, and the politicians are very clever. Once they get something as crucial as the Tea Party people and all that they mean to those who want to stir some things up and start again in different places, they try to make this a political issue. And so the politicians, once they've made such a thing an issue, they dilute it into politics. And once it's in the political realm, they know how to silence it. They know how to drain from it. They know how to destroy it gradually. They're very, very clever people. And we live in that type of world. There is a blindness in this world and in this country and in our society and amongst the friends you and I know, and there is a blindness about Jesus that they will not allow to come into their hearts. And we can join them, or we can sit on the side of the road, admit blindness, and cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us, on me." We have need of the mercy of God. These two blind men penetrated through to Jesus more than the crowd that was carrying him along the road. They had something very specific in mind. Now, I'm not going to get into the politics of this. I'm not interested in politics at all. I'm just saying that people need to understand that if they cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, they will have life, and they will have it abundantly, and they'll no longer be the blind following the blind. For whatever our leaders do and say, if they love not the Lord Jesus Christ with all their hearts and with all their mind and with all their souls and all that is within them, they know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we follow such people, we need the mercy of God, so we need to sit on the side of the road and admit we are not going to follow people with eyes that are blind. And though we have our eyes in a different direction, are blinded to the things of the world, we need very badly to cry out, "Lord Jesus Christ, will you give us sight?" Now, the condition of these men is the condition of us. Only, of course, we're not beggars. Oh, no. But we do know the government will look after us from cradle to the grave. They may even tell us when the grave is. And we have all sorts of things going on in politics that are going to reduce us to precious little. We need to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, is the creator of the ends of the earth, who put this whole society together so that somehow his glory would shine. Do you realize that if you come to the place where you trust Jesus more than you trust men, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to solve the problems of your poverty and your lack of riches and your new not-so-beautiful place in society, do you realize that if you will put your trust in Him, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never desert you. He will keep you. That ought to be quite a challenge. And the only way you and I can come to that place where we receive the Lord Jesus in this manner is to cry out, Lord, I'm blind. Lord, I'm blind. So what's your condition today? Let's look at the position of these people. They were sitting by the wayside. They were sitting as observers. Many, many Christians sit as observers. It's such a shame because there's so much to be done. It's such a shame because people don't want to get involved. And so we have people that do get involved and they're half blown. They're sort of not quite with it. They don't have things worked out as they should. But at least they get up and they make statements and they say things and they try to make some things happen. Sitting by the wayside. Are you sitting, letting the world go by? Are you saying, I can't do anything about this political situation? I can't do anything about the situation I find myself in. I cannot help myself. You're sitting by the wayside. Don't do it. Stand up and say, look, I can't see the beginning or the end of this. But God knows the beginning and God knows the end, and He has revealed all things to Jesus Christ. Jesus and God are one. Therefore, if I put my trust in Jesus, I put my trust in God. Get up from the wayside and put yourself in a position that you can be used of God. Now, something else. These two men had a condition and they had a position. But they knew an agitation. They heard that Jesus Christ passed by. Now, some of you have said, oh my, I know that this religious stuff, this Christian stuff is real. My grandparents believed it. My great-grandparents believed it. My parents sort of believed it. But I don't believe it. Well, you don't have to. My dear friend, if you're listening to me, you don't have to believe it. It's whether or not you want peace with God. It's whether or not you want the leading of God. It's whether or not you want the revelation of God in your life. And if you do, then you need to put your trust in this Jesus whom God sent into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him should be saved. And you and I need to come to that place where we can say, Lord Jesus, help me. Now, the agitation, Jesus was going to pass by. Can you imagine when they first heard the noise of this crowd and they said to people around that had eyes, what's the fuss? They said, oh, Jesus of Nazareth is coming up. He's only a few yards down the road from you. They must have agreed with each other somehow and they said, we need Jesus. We're blind. We've heard that He's changed people from blindness into sight. And so they cry out and they say, Lord Jesus, have mercy, have mercy, Lord Jesus. And the people, as Jesus is almost up to them, say, shush, He's a wonderful man. You're just a couple of beggars beside the road. You're just by the wayside. You're just ruined. You have no sight. You're beggars. You're useless. Have you heard those things said to you or implied to you? Have you been told to shush? You don't understand the preacher because the preacher has been to college. The preacher has been to seminary. The preacher has read wonderful books. The preacher is full of wonderful thoughts. The preacher. No, no, dear friend, you need Jesus. The preacher is a signpost to show you Jesus, and if he doesn't do that, he is not called of God. So you have a problem. You can sit by the wayside and listen to people telling you to shut up, or you can ignore those people and cry out. There was an agitation. Jesus was going to pass by. That was their agitation. After all, somebody may have been standing there. He's right level with you now. He's going to go past you now. And soon, just as soon as they heard that he was coming, soon people would be saying he's gone by. And the panic set in. Look, Jesus is coming again. I know. Somebody's going to say, preacher, don't weary us with things that we don't need to know about. Don't answer questions we've never asked. But Jesus is coming again. Please understand me. Jesus is coming again. You know, some people won't be ready to receive him when he comes. And if that's you, my dear, dear friend, please turn to the Lord Jesus this day, make a cry and say, have mercy on me. I'm blind. I don't see the scriptures. I don't understand the word of God. I don't understand these Christian people, but I need Jesus. Have mercy on me. Now notice there was a great conviction here and their outcry was heard. They cried out. Oh, you know, in Wales in 1902. Wales was quite a wicked place, just like the rest of the British Isles, just like the rest of the world. In 1902, people were drinking themselves silly. People were sad because they could hardly afford a loaf of bread. And in South Wales, and I've been there many times, lived nearby, went to school there, and I want to share with you that in those days, it was terrifying. I met people in 1951, 1952 and 3 that were alive in 1902. Now, the importance of the date is this, that in 1902, people received what's known as the Welsh Revival. I may have said some of this before. I make no apology. I'll repeat it. And I'll tell you this, that Wales was so terribly depressed that if a person earned a dollar for a week's work in a mine and they worked 12-hour shifts, if he earned a dollar, that was because he'd got a bonus. 6 days in the week he worked down in that mine, and during those 6 days he was facing death at every turn. Recently, some miners have been shut off because of, I think, an explosion that took place in the east of this country. And those dear men are trapped. And they're trying to drill air holes down to them. They had no drills when these miners were in the coal mines and in the iron ore mines. And I say to you this, death faced them at every turn. When gases were released, it only took a pony whose feet were shod to slip on a rail as it was pulling the cart of ore or the cart full of coal out to the place where it would be lifted up on the lift. It only took one spark to ignite those gases, and those poor men suddenly had an explosion to face. It is quite possible that the men that were caught in the mine this week, it's quite possible that they had some accident and a spark flew, but the gas was already there. They used to take canaries in cages down with them, and if the canary keeled over and died from the gases, they knew it was very dangerous. But the fellows working at the face, where they were hacking out the new coal or the new ore, they often didn't have the canaries with them because they were pushing ahead to get more and more coal out of the mine. These people had very little money. They could just barely make it. They didn't have vehicles. They didn't have things to lighten their pleasure, but they buried themselves in booze. They buried themselves in the sin that goes on in all communities. And one day in 1902, when the church could hardly get the people to come in, when the church failed at every place just like it's failing today, suddenly some men coming out of the mines fell upon their knees in the pouring rain, and they cried out, "O God, have mercy, have mercy." They fell on their knees in the pouring rain. Suddenly there was the impression that God was right there, and their sins had caught up with them, and their desperation was, "Have mercy, have mercy. We've had eyes to see, but we've not seen. Mercy is what we need. Mercy." Look at their petition. They come up, "Have mercy on us." You and I don't like to ask for mercy. We like to be able to say to God something like this: "If you will get me out of this predicament, I will give to your cause. I will help you with your cause, whatever it is. I will go to the back streets of Binga Bonga land, and I will go without my food, and I will do this, that, and the other to serve you." And we do that because we think we can barter with God. Do you realize when you make silly statements like that, as all of us have at different times in our lives, you cannot bargain with God? The only way to get his attention is to cry out, and the cry has to come from the depth of the heart. Listen to this. The psalmist wrote, "Hear my prayers and let my cry come unto thee." Oh, my goodness. Have you ever stopped to think that that cry comes out of the depth of your soul when there's no prayer to be prayed, when the pomposity of preachers and the pomposity of Christians and the idleness of knowing so much of the Word of God but not enough to apply it to their own hearts? How dreadful that is. We need to cry. There needs to be something breaking inside of us, or God doesn't hear us. And we can't cry for mercy until something snaps. I had a dear friend, he's dead now, but he was a great teacher, and he went all over the place teaching young people how to live their lives. He would take people aside and say, "You're making a mess of your life. Your marriage is going to be up the creek if you don't do this, that, and the other." And here is the tragedy. He was quite right. He knew the Word of God, but he could not get it into his own heart. He had many people that he played psychological games with. His son was in a prison, and other members of his family were in terrible straits. His wife didn't understand what was going on, though later in life she thought she did understand. But I want to share this with you. He could never put things together. I would sit with him and say to him with love, with tears, "Dear brother, until your heart is broken, you will not be able to accept the cry of mercy, and you will therefore not cry." He would tell his children how to live their lives, and he was right. He would explain to his in-laws how they should treat his children, and he was right. He would explain the Word of God from the platform, and he was right. But he could not cry for mercy. I want to share with you that when those miners in Wales came to the place where they cried out for mercy, God heard them. And we had what the result of that was, that people got right with God. And we have historically recognized the Welsh revival. My own mother-in-law was a young person at that time, and the Welsh revival touched her family, but members of her family did not repent, did not believe the gospel that they heard and were so passionately involved with. So I come to this place with you. Will you join these two men who sit by the wayside blind? And as you hear about Jesus, stop him from passing by crying out, "Lord, have mercy, have mercy, O thou Son of David." The one thing that we all need more than anything else is the mercy of God, that he will look down on us with his benevolence and place that wonderful love of God within our hearts. God saw that in the wretchedness of our own lives, we could not save ourselves. We could not come to repentance. And so he placed in our hearts a great thing called love. Not the love for man and woman, but for the love of God. And he placed that love in Jesus. And he says, if you will trust Jesus, you will have life, and you will have life everlasting. Do you have that life, my dear friend? It's absolutely essential that you and I come to that place, but we have to cry. Have mercy! Have mercy, Lord! Will you pray with me now? Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you, have mercy! There's none so blind as won't see, and we have been blind to the things of God for too long. Have mercy, please, Lord! We have thought that we can do all sorts of things without you. We turn to you now and pray your blessing upon us. Have mercy. Lord, bless these dear people and bless this lovely word. Bless us all as we think on these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. The Lord be with you. Bye-bye.